Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
JetBlue passengers could be paying more to check your bags depending on when you fly. The airline now testing dynamic pricing for baggage fees, an extra $5 to $10 for checked bags during peak travel times.
That's becoming more popular in a variety of industries, huh? So a couple things. I was flying the other day and looking out the window and watching them load the bags. And one, you said the reason bags can only be a certain weight is because they don't want to hurt the people's backs who are throwing the bags around. I looked out there. There's a guy like 65 years old. Get younger people lifting the bags. That would help. Is that some sort of union thing? You can't fire them even if they're retirement age? Get younger people to lift bags.
Age discrimination.
Yes, younger people to lift bags. And guy was chucking them. He was standing there at the thing. Rather than walking over, he was throwing them at least 15 feet. Throw it over there, bounces in the pile. Throw it over there, bounces in the pile. I thought there's all kinds of laptops in there and video games and all kinds of stuff. You don't need to throw it like that. That's weak. Yeah. Screw you, dude. I wanted to yell out the window, hey! Walk your ass over there for whatever we're paying. You don't throw my bag.
I sympathize, but I'm picturing you actually doing that on a flight and walking off handcuffed.
They're not
opening
supposed
the
to
exit
do that,
door.
Are they?
I'm going to talk to that young man.
They're not supposed to chuck them like that, are they? I'd never seen that before.
I've seen some chucking. I don't know.
Not cool. It made me think I want to get different bags, like the hard-sided bags.
Yeah, or fly a different airline.
Jeez, although that was weak.
All the different baggage guys in all the different airports, in the country. Who knows?
I regularly have expensive stuff in a checked bag. I don't want thrown like that.
Speaking of consumer issues, Jack. Oh, back to the JetBlue thing. Yeah, peak demand pricing is the coming trend. Don't like that because you're never quite sure what something's going to cost. And the second thing is everything's a subscription. Which is including in the most chilling example. It's not chilling. It's annoying. Like if you want the super good stereo upgrade in your next car, you don't buy it. You subscribe to it. Mm-hmm. It's a monthly payment for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Yuck. Hate that idea. I hope all consumers hate it so much it goes away, but we'll see. So I'm not going to give you the punchline. I'm just going to read part of this from the Wall Street Journal of all places. And then just wait for Jack's head to explode. What's wrong with the economy? It's you, not the data. Many Americans believe that the economy and their finances are worse than they really are. And then they go into some poll numbers like poll swing states, 74% of respondents said inflation has moved in the wrong direction in the past year. This assessment, which holds across all seven states.
What does that mean? Moved in the wrong... Okay.
This assessment, which holds across all seven states, is startling, sobering, and simply not true. I'm not stating an opinion. This isn't something on which reasonable people can disagree. We can say unambiguously that inflation has moved in the right direction in the past year.
Okay, so what, though?
When it comes to the economy, the average person thinks inflation went up. Yet when it comes to the economy, the vibes are at war with the facts, and the vibes are winning, which is bad for Biden. He mentions, it's tempting to chalk this up to a misunderstanding. Lower inflation means the level of prices is still rising, just more slowly than before. All right, look, we got to convene a major summit with the major media, leading dictionary makers, the Federal Reserve, the Surgeon General, Joint Chiefs. I don't care. Whatever.
World's sexiest albino. Get him involved.
Exactly. Whatever it takes. Look, oh, eggheads, oh, pontificators on high. When people say inflation, they mean prices. And if inflation was 9% last year and it's 8% this year, yes, according to you, inflation is moving in the right direction. That's not the way anybody thinks about it, except PhDs in economics, I guess. Just get it through your head. I can't buy as much as I could 2 years ago. In fact, I can buy less than I could last year. And I can't do stuff I used to like to do because I don't have enough money and I used to. So the 8% is now 3.5%. It's meaningless to consumers. It's just so odd that they would devote this many words to explaining to people, no, 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 inflation is better.
I think it's as simple as, are most people shocked at the price of things? If you're shocked at the price of things, you feel bad about it. Doesn't matter the rate of whatever month to month or anything like that. Just if I pick up something at the store or get a bill somewhere and I'm shocked at the price, it's going to make me feel bad.
Speaking of which, the very same publication, the Wall Street Journal, not far below that story, has this story. How far $100 goes at the grocery store after 5 years of food inflation. From beef to mayo, consumers continue to spend more to buy less. And they go into, you know, in 2019, it cost you $2.36 for a dozen eggs. And then that's up $1.48 over those few years. And they go into potato chips and lettuce and milk and oat milk and oat milk. you know, ground beef and flour and crackers and dish soap and water and peanut butter and soda pop and pasta and butter and grapes. And there's an enormous list
of
chicken breasts. It's gone up a lot. People mean, when they say inflation, they don't mean the rate of inflation. They're not comparing the rate this year to the rate last year, the rate of growth. They're just seeing higher prices.
Right. Obviously. And I'm still shocked at prices, so I'm not there yet. I don't know how long it takes for people to get over the emotional shock of prices. I don't know. I was too young in the early 80s the last time we went through this. I don't know how long it takes you to get settled into the new price of things. I guess we'll find out. I know I had one babysitter ask for a raise the other day, and I thought, geez, when did I hire you at this rate? It's like 4 years ago, and so I got out my inflation calculator app. Everybody should have an inflation calculator app. Man, that'll give you some real news about a lot of things, your salary, the price of your, well, all kinds of things. But anyway, I figured it out. Yeah, she's gone backwards several dollars in the amount of time, the few years that I've hired her, just in a couple of years. She needs a raise just to get back to where she was, let alone the fact that she's good and dependable. So, yeah.
Exactly. And so some economists would say, do you think inflation's bad? She'd say, yeah. And he'd say, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Right.
The rate of inflation last year.
You idiot.
Right. What the heck is it with you people? All right. Here's an unanswerable question. How dishonest does a person need to be for you to think they're a dishonest person? Do they have to be honest 100% of the time about everything? White lies are excusable. No, you don't look fat in those jeans, for instance.
You look like a hog.
Oh, Jiminy. Oh, I suggest you don't say that. But what about popping a couple of grapes in your mouth at the grocery store?
That's a certain sort of person. I mean, that's not much, theft, but I would not do that.
Well, my
I have a friend conclusion. Who does that, and he feels like the grocery stores are overcharging places, and that's how he gets them back.
So he steals from them.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, having already read the information I'm about to share with you, I wonder what percentage of people are actually pretty much just dishonest. All they respond to is incentives and disincentives. They don't follow rules and refrain from dishonesty because of a moral restraint. It's merely incentives and disincentives. I don't want to steal because I will get in trouble and that will mess up my life.
I think most people are honest by a great majority.
Do you? Yeah. I would. I'm not sure. So there's a big story in a variety of publications, including once again the Journal, that Amazon sellers are getting hammered by a surge in scam returns because they have such liberal return policies. The individual sellers on Amazon are not always Amazon. In fact, in a lot of cases, they're not Amazon. They use Amazon as a clearinghouse, a way to connect with buyers. You probably knew that already. But evidently, there's an enormous surge in you buy a Coach wallet and you return some no-name dupe. Or you buy Nike football cleats and say, hey, these cleats didn't work, or I kept slipping and falling on my hind end, or whatever, and you return flip-flops.
What?
But Amazon is so, we want to make the customer happy, and B, so haphazard and unresponsive to small sellers saying, hey, I'm getting flooded with these fake returns. You got to do something about this. Here's the guy's name, the address, whatever. They're stealing from us. And they, of course, Amazon says, we make it a priority to blah, blah, but we have no tolerance for fraudulent returns. But all these sellers are saying, well, maybe you say you don't have tolerance, but I'm losing my shirt over here.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take a very high percentage of scumbags who are willing to do that to muck up the works, obviously.
That's true. About 14% of returns last year were fraudulent, accounting for $101 billion in overall losses.
Wow, $101 billion, 14% of returns, and I wonder what percentage of, I mean, how many people made up that 14%?
I doubt somebody just does that scam once and says, oh, I've stolen enough.
Right, exactly. I'm sure it's an ongoing thing for certain people. That's why I like the social credit score for that sort of thing that is becoming more popular. And I want it all tied together, as long as the government doesn't get its hands on it and use it for those reasons. But I love the fact that the idea of Costco, Best Buy, Amazon, everybody having your return information and knowing, okay, you're the kind of person that like twice in your lifetime has returned something. If you return something, you mean it, as opposed to you return everything. You wear it, you bring it back, return it, and take advantage of us.
When you first said social credit score, of course, my mind goes immediately to the communist Chinese and their horrific system. But yeah, I see what you mean. It's like your credit rating.
Yeah, I have that. Like this happened just the other day with DoorDash. So I ordered food. I ordered two meals from DoorDash. I got one of them. I contacted DoorDash and said, hey, I only got one of my meals. And they went through my DoorDash history, which is long. Look at me. And I spent a lot of money, a lot of DoorDashing. And I have a record of not doing that before. So they bent over backwards. They immediately credited me, blah, 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 blah. I like keeping track of people, whether or not you're the scumbag type or not. So it doesn't ruin it for everybody.
It might work. Final notice, Barbara sells household items, but has received TV cable boxes and used bars of soap as returns. Jess
Why
sells outdoor coffee products.
Why return anything if you're sending a used bar of soap back?
I guess so there's weight to it. I don't know.
Why not just put a note in there that says I'm stealing from you if you send back a used bar of soap?
I don't know. Is it a prank? Jess, who sells outdoor coffee products like a travel French press, has gotten back Christmas ornaments and toy planes. Kevin, also an Amazon seller, received used dog nail trimmers for what should have been human nail clippers. On and on.
All right. Order a pair of football cleats, send back the flip-flops. These didn't work at all. You know anything about this? Text line 415-295-KFTC.
I'm using a lot of soap.
Armstrong and Getty.
It's- Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Essentially, this is an act of war.
In an explosive new report, 60 Minutes, The Insider, and Der Spiegel found new evidence that hundreds of U.S. government employees complaining of sudden neurological symptoms known as Havana Syndrome may have been attacked by Russia with a weapon using directed energy.
Yeah, I listened to another interview yesterday with one of the reporters on this, not 60 Minutes. It might have been Der Spiegel or the other one. There's three organizations involved, but it's pretty nailed down. It's Russia, and they're doing this to people. The political question is, are we pretending we don't know who it is, or pretending it might not even exist? Because if you announce it, you got to do something about it. If you say, hey, yeah, Russia is attacking American citizens and damaged them, hurt them very badly for years all around the world. You have to do something, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely think that could be the case. They're soft peddling it to decrease domestic pressure to retaliate.
And yeah, and what would that retaliation be? So that's the, because we were asking the other day, why did the government, when it was a year or two ago, they put out the statement, we think these are all crackpots. They're just trying to get a check. They're claiming the government did something so they can get a check. And we see no reason to believe this is actually a thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely a thing.
That's pretty brutal, though. If you're gonna call these people liars so that you can get out of the hole of having to respond, although responding to Russia, biggest nuclear power on Earth, this is not a minor deal.
Yeah. So I've been shocked at some of the reaction to the report. If you read it and or watch it on 60 Minutes. It is extremely well-researched by a trio of well-respected news organizations from multiple countries. J.D. Vance, the prominent senator and perhaps Trump pick for VP, tweeted the following. Feels like a lot of journalists have lost their minds. Have you guys heard that Putler, which is like a combination of Putin and Hitler, working with Drumpf? What is that? That's Trump and, I don't know. Have you guys heard that Putler, working with Drumpf and the saucer people, has started attacking with invisible lasers? Just like that snarky, derisive, these people are stupid. In defense of, or in denial of, Russia doing what Russia has done for a century, which is try to attack and weaken the United States, whether in the guise of the Soviet Union or modern Russia.
Well, he's insinuating it's like a hoax, just like the whole Russia got Trump elected thing, which was a hoax, and Adam Schiff is a liar. But why is he?
Adam Schiff being a liar doesn't like negate the existence of the KGB and its current incarnation and the troll farms and the snatching up of American citizens, holding them prisoner. You know, witness Paul Whelan, the Gerskovich from the Washington, from the Wall Street Journal, rather, Evan. Some of these people on, there's a chunk of the right that makes me extremely uncomfortable because they are really pro-Putin in a strange cultural neo-fascist Putin stands up for right-thinking Christian values thing that is just incredibly ill-advised.
Right. Putin's got this weapon, apparently, where he can scramble the brain of anyone he wants to scramble the brain of from a car parked outside your office.
It's essentially a microwave-type weapon.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, and for J.D. Vance to not only say, I don't think this is legit, but in a very internet-y, a very social media way, portray it as such an idiotic suggestion, only an idiot would even take it seriously. The idea online is you get dumb people to say, yeah, because they don't want to be thought of as dumb people.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing you tweet if you're a House member, not a U.S. senator. Really?
Yeah, that is strange and troubling.
The decline of religion in America, among other things we can talk about. Stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has cleared the first digital treatment for depression. It's called Rejoin, and it's a smartphone app intended to be used alongside antidepressant medications. The app is geared for folks 22 years old and older who have been diagnosed with major depressive disorder. Rejoin does require a prescription for download, and it is expected to become available later this year.
An app that you need a prescription from your doctor for about depression that you will have on your phone, which is pretty likely to have been what caused your depression in the first place, staring at your phone.
Oh, the irony.
It's right next to my Instagram app. I'll just look through Instagram a little bit, see how people liked my latest dog pic. Then I'll go back to my depression app and back and forth and back and forth till I
only
start crying.
Only 5 hearts? Only 5 favorites? I better go back to my depression app. I have First Amendment concerns about requiring a prescription for an app.
I don't even know what that means. What kind of doctor prescribe? I'll tell you what you need. You need this app. I'll write your prescription.
I'm flummoxed.
Yeah. What does it do? It just says, stop looking at your phone. That's what it says over and over again.
Put down this damn phone. Go relate to a real human being. It should.
You know why so many people are depressed? Lack of God. Or I don't know what. I'm making a transition into this topic. But we're struggling as a society. I don't think. Would anybody deny that? I don't think anybody would deny that.
No, I don't think so.
Suicide, opioid use, anxiety, people on various drugs to keep themselves from going crazy, all that sort of stuff. What is exactly causing it, I don't know. But this is an interesting article that was in The Atlantic, written by a non-believer who's got a different point of view on it now than he used to have. This guy, I don't know his work, Derek Thompson. Many Americans seem to have found no alternative method to build a sense of community. The true cost of the church going bust. This is something I've thought for a long time, is that people stopping getting together on Sunday with each other and going to church and having a worldview, it going away doesn't mean nothing.
No, and as even the headline implied, people have not created a substitute.
Right. Let me read this paragraph. I thought it was really good. As an agnostic, I've spent most of my life thinking about the decline of faith in America in mostly positive terms. Organized religion seemed to me beset by scandal and entangled in noxious politics. So I thought, what is there really to mourn? Only in the past few years have I come around to a different view. Maybe religion, for all of its faults, works a bit like a retaining wall to hold back the destabilizing pressure of American hyper-individualism, which threatens to swell and spill over in its absence.
That's some good writing.
That is really good, and I think he's absolutely right. More than a quarter of Americans now identify as atheists, agnostics, or religiously unaffiliated. The flip side of that is amazing to me. I mean, it used to be more like 90% of people were believers of some sort. Now it's down to more like 75% of people. But it's still very high by Western civ standards.
Hey, before we plunge ahead, I thought the sentence or two you just read was a great kind of example, explanation of why conservatism is important and what it is. Here you had a young guy who said that institution going away is good. Then he got a little life experience and looked at it from a couple of different sides and realized, oh, that institution existed for reasons I hadn't yet figured out and or had value that I hadn't yet appreciated. Things that have existed for a very long time in our society. You don't assume you as a 20-year-old or 30 or 40-year-old, for that matter, understand all of the reasons it has endured. It's endured for really good reasons. And if you can't identify those reasons, maybe don't tear it down yet.
Right. So there's still a giant chunk of people, like three quarters, that call themselves some sort of religion and believe in God or whatever. But two-thirds of the non-believers, and this is the biggest number we've ever had in American history, according to polling, two-thirds of the non-believers were brought up in a religious household, some sort of household that did believe, and have gone the other direction. And way more people have converted away from religion than to religion in recent years. And I'm sure that's true. I don't know how many people are going from agnostic atheist to, you know, becoming a Catholic or Jewish or whatever. A little more on this, and then we will discuss. On an individual...
You're from the upper Midwest, and you left the Lutherans out of this. Give the Lutherans some love.
Become a Lutheran.
Presbyterians. Who's Presbyterian?
I was. I was a Methodist.
Ah.
I couldn't tell you what that means, actually. It's a brand of Christianity. I do know that. I understand the whole Christian thing. That I understand very, very well. But I don't specifically know what Methodists believed versus Lutherans or Presbyterians. I couldn't tell you that.
A lot of it's just organizational and not worth worrying about.
On an individual basis, people can give any number of valid-sounding reasons for not frequenting a house of worship. But a behavioral shift that is fully understandable on the individual level has coincided with, and even partly exacerbated, a great rewiring of our social relations. I'm not advocating that every atheist and agnostic in America immediately choose a world religion and commit themselves to weekly church, or synagogue or mosque. But I wonder if in foregoing organized religion, an isolated country has discarded an old and proven source of ritual at a time when we most need it. That is a fancier way of saying what you just said. This is a guy sort of thinking maybe we should have conserved something that seemed to have, that did have some value in holding us together.
Or at least recognize all the value it had and recognize that we're not doing that anymore and that people were doing that for a very long time for a good reason. Fellowship, connections, relationships, community, etc. You can't just give that away and say, we'll be fine. Something God, that fundamental.
God, if nothing else, an hour a week of being reminded, I shouldn't like just focus on pleasure in me, probably. Even if that's it. Even if that's the only thing. Because now maybe you go months or years without ever thinking, perhaps I shouldn't just focus on pleasure in me. I don't know about others, but I'm just speaking for myself.
Was there more from that you wanted to share? Or because no. I have a couple of related things that I happen to be sitting on to bring up at some point. 40% of adults go days without face-to-face interaction, according to a recent poll.
What? No. How do you live a life like that? 40%?
This is Brits have gone at least 3 days without a face-to-face conversation with another person.
You know how they are.
Your anti-British racism rearing its ugly.
No, but doesn't that seem like an
crooked tooth, Ted?
Doesn't that seem like an awful high number? I have often thought, though, when I'm in an urban area, you know, walking the streets, thinking, how many of these people never go out or do anything? I mean, you see, there's just people shopping and walking dogs or whatever. But how many, or even my neighborhood? There's houses that are active, like my kids were in and out and getting the football and the bike, stuff like that, and a few other houses down the block. But then there's a bunch of other houses I never see anybody in doing anything.
Right. Now, we're talking about a face-to-face conversation with another person, as opposed to that'll be $1.40 here. Thanks.
Bye. Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm fine with that distinction.
And the lonely in the crowd phenomenon seems to hit young adults the hardest, with 60% of those between 18 and 24 reporting feelings of loneliness. They go into some of the details, but I wanted to get to this before we move on. According to this is the Indiana University School of Medicine and their Institute on Aging. Loneliness is worse for your health than obesity, alcoholism, maybe even smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
I'm not trying to
for claim, older people.
I'm not trying to claim church is the cause of or fix of all these different things. But and if you're going to church regularly, you would have face to face conversations at least that hour every week. Turn to your left, shake hands. Turn to your right, shake hands, which is a common thing at church. If you heathens don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and somebody's likely to talk you into singing in the church choir,
right,
and or volunteering for Habitat for Humanity or the dozens of other things that churches tend to do.
Help with the kids.
Or you might just hit it off with somebody. You meet somebody who likes to play tennis like you do, you know, blah, blah, blah. So
then you're knocking church shoes.
I'm not dignifying that one either. So loneliness worse for your health than obesity, alcoholism, and even smoking 15 cigarettes a day for older folks in particular.
Wow.
It's worth keeping in mind.
Maybe the most depressing sentence in the show's history. So it ranks right up there.
You got to recognize the problem before you cure it.
Do you have to do it on the radio show, though? They say that's the
yes.
Thing.
Yes. You got to have the courage to confront it, not make idiotic sex jokes. Just, you know, just for instance, just something, you know, kick that around, would you? Unbelievable. I work with a child.
Yeah. And then I had another thing I was going to transition to. Maybe I'll save that. It was a young people today comment, but I'll save it for later. There's always plenty of time for a young people today comment.
I actually did have a handful of girlfriends as a younger man that I met at church.
Sure. No. And I did camps that were just fun as could be in the summertime. Mm-hmm. That sort of stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, I liked gathering young people in a wholesome environment.
I always liked Sunday school. And they made it fun somehow.
The Bible! Yeah.
That's right, sir. That's what we're talking about. Anyway.
I have many of them in my home.
This my one favorite book.
Has a fake signature from me and Lee Greenwood.
Oh, speaking of that, and all the pearl clutching around Trump, selling the Trump edition of the Bible, because mm-hmm. it does have a certain feel to it. But I had been unaware that there is a long history of special editions of the Bible for hunters and fishermen or aficionados of this or that or the other.
I've always found them pretty jivey myself. I just like kind of a regular aimed at everybody, just to the Word of God Bible. It doesn't narrow in on this one's for tennis players or whatever, but you know, do it. You do you. The issue is the president selling them.
It's the Bible.
It's not normal.
Yeah, it's got a kind of a Trump steaks, Trump water feel to it.
Right, right. Although I did want one of those red, white, and blue knives he was selling the other day. I don't know if those are sold out. I need a Trump knife.
Do you? Then you'd be happy.
What's going on with Israel and Hamas and the president? Want to talk about that at some point. He's got a phone call today. Man, the politics on that, the polling on that, getting ugly. I don't know how that's all. Nobody knows how that's going to turn out. Among other things we need to talk about.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
I'm just listening to the drive-by trucker's tune that I enjoy so much, and Patterson Hood singing in his unique whiskey-soaked, cigarette-abused voice, and how inimitable it is, but it is imitable with AI, or will be soon.
Artificial intelligence?
Yes, that's what I meant by AI. Thank you. More than 200 musical artists, including such heavy hitters as Billie Eilish, Katy Perry, Smokey Robinson, Elvis Costello, and many more.
The family signed, of Frank Sinatra.
Have signed this open letter to AI developers, tech firms, and digital platforms to, quote, cease the use of artificial intelligence to infringe upon and devalue the rights of human artists.
Good luck.
Well, yeah, they're specifically talking about you can't have an AI that sounds exactly like whatever Nora Jones producing a new song. I get that. But they, and Tennessee passed a law recently, I didn't actually read the wording of the law, but having to do with protecting the rights of musicians and their jobs not to be taken away by AI. I'm putting y'all in the same category, and this is with all due love and respect for musicians, being one. I put you in the same category as somebody standing on the beach ordering the tide not to come in. It's not going to work. You are doomed, doomed, doomed. Go ahead.
Or more accurately, you know, you're a blacksmith in 1900 and you're just gonna fight the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
well
luck.
Said. In a funny coincidence, John with no H, beloved listener of the Armstrong and Getty Show, said essentially, dude, you got to check this out, this website. And it is, we'll have a link at armstrongandgetty.com if you want to check it out. But it's a website that allows you to access AI and you feed it a prompt. That's like an uplifting pop song about how you're always there for me. And AI will write it for you. Lyrics and music and instrumentation.
There? You're always there for me? Well, yeah. I'd like or that song.
A dreamy rap song about being trapped in an AI song factory. A bouncy cumbia song. I don't know what that is. About how you're always there for me. A bouncy electronic pop song about a faded photo on the mantle. Those are the sort of prompts you do. And here's one that was described as, what was it called? Punk rock, ska punk rock rap about being tired of the 9-to-5 workday. And this is what it turned out. 73, please, Michael.
I'm sitting here at my desk, staring at the clock, wondering when the day will finally stop. I got a secret plan, gonna make my escape. Gotta leave this job, it's time for a new escape. Yeah, I wanna break free from the 9-to-5, oh yeah. No more boss telling me how to survive.
It's not great.
That AI has listened to Weezer and Fountains of Wayne
over and over, and a little Green Day in there as well, if you like. Yeah, and this is a website that's for free to amuse yourself.
Right.
Now, picture you've got the tools of Google or what have you, professional recording, mastering equipment, that sort of thing.
Well, they're almost two different categories. NBC News did this story last night. And it's almost two different things. There's the creating music that sounds just like someone else thing, and that's going to end up in court over and over again. I mean, because, like, I listen to country radio, if I listen to music radio at all, and there's, like, five dudes and five women, or 50 dudes and 50 women, that sound exactly the same, and those are real human beings. So how are you ever going to nail down, no, AI ripped off this guy? Well, there's 20 other guys in the radio sound just like that guy. So how do you claim? What? But then they were getting to the argument of, we need to discourage AI from just doing music because it takes away the blah, blah, blah of humankind. Never going to happen. I mean, you talk about screaming at the ocean and trying to stop the waves. That's just, sorry, that ain't going to happen.
Michael, hit us with number 70. Here's another example. Latin flow, slow, smooth about a beautiful woman or something. You want to know the name of this guitar player? And there wasn't one.
She walks in beauty, silent and proud, whispering the bustle loud.
The fact that there's no human being that did this is amazing. At any point. Not the music, not the singing, not the writing, the producing.
I know, it's surreal. It's disturbing.
And like you said, this is the free amateur version, not the professional, I've got some talent version. And I tweak it as I go along. Oh my God. I who knows where this is going? Movies, music, books. It's depressing, actually.
The lyrics are pretty stupid, so I don't think really
so,
good books will be so, anytime soon.
So
but.
Are all the lyrics on pop radio.
Touche. Why would I bother assembling studio musicians, performers, write? I mean, granted, pop's formulaic anyway, but
I find it
when
depressing.
I can just type into a computer.
Yeah, I find it discouraging from wanting to do that, which is weird, but. And it's only going to get better.
Things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast.
Yeah, no doubt. Sorry, Billie Eilish and the family of Frank Sinatra and whoever else signed this letter. I think you're up against it.
Yeah, we sympathize, but oh well.
Armstrong and Getty.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.